is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
24 years ago, Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft was a correspondent for Financial Times, is my memory. He was very helpful to me the many times we talked during the Afghanistan part of the war, especially. Anatole, welcome. It's 24 years, and we've been talking villainy and risk ever since. No different than today. Where were you on 9/11? I don't remember the detail. Good evening.
Hello, John. I was in Washington at the Carnegie Endowment. My wife was actually in New York, though not in Manhattan. I'm happy to say she was in Brooklyn. And then 2 days later, I left for Pakistan and Peshawar to look at the situation developing there. And then after the Taliban fell, I went to Afghanistan, where you interviewed me in January or February,
somewhere in
2002.
There. I remember coming out of the Khyber Pass one night, you were on a radio telephone to me live in New York, and you almost got run down by a dung cart. Do you recall that incident?
I do indeed. Fortunately, the dung cart was pulled by a donkey. It was going very, very slowly, so it wasn't a very dramatic accident. Its nose bumped into my back while I was standing in the middle of the road.
Well, lesson for people in the Khyber Pass, beware of donkeys. All right, we come up to date because we have an incident along the Belarus-Poland border that led to an Article 4 meeting at NATO Brussels, a gathering of eagles to discuss what is to be done. And you look very carefully at this in a new article at Quincy. The words are very hot, and we both know there's a backstory here. Poland and Russia are at loggerheads and have been at least since the Second War, probably before. The Poles are extremely well-armed. They're at the ramparts, and they're looking at the Russians during an exercise between the Russian forces and the Belarus forces, a military exercise, Zapad, which is annual, and drones, sometimes said to be 19, but I'm told some of them were decoy, crossed into Polish airspace, is the report, fog of war here, crossed into airspace, and the NATO characterization was not an attack, instead something called an intentional incursion. That led to this present crisis. However, you recommend there are other ways to approach this. First of all, intentional incursion. Does that make sense right now?
Yes, I don't think that there can be any serious doubt that this was intentional on the Russians' part, because there have been previous incidents of Russian drones landing in Poland, but these were single cases and very close to the border with Ukraine. So it seemed that this was an accident. They were aiming at something in Ukraine and they overshot. But this time, as you said, there were 19 drones, and some of them landed much, much deeper inside Poland. Now, that can't be an accident. So clearly the Russians intended to send a message. But at the same time, these drones were not armed, it appears. They were decoy drones. If you look at some of the pictures, they were most of them were very small. It doesn't seem that they were intended to hit anything. Seems to me that what the Russians were doing was two things. The first was testing NATO's air defenses, although it's not quite clear why they would need to do that, because heaven knows they've had enough experience in Ukraine of NATO air defenses provided to Ukraine shooting down Russian drones. But I think the second thing was to send a warning, above all, to this so-called coalition of the willing, which says that it is making plans to send a so-called reassurance force to Ukraine after a ceasefire, which the Russians have categorically ruled out. In fact, they've said that you know, unless that's taken off the table, there won't be a ceasefire. So I think they were trying to, and Putin has said that if European troops are deployed to Ukraine, they will automatically find themselves under attack. So my reading would be that this is intended to back up that warning. Although a small irony is the fact that actually Poland, although in certain respects a key supporter of Ukraine, has actually declared officially that it will not send troops to Ukraine as part of any coalition of the willing. So the Russians didn't really need to warn the Poles, I suppose, except, of course, that Poland would be an essential base for any such force.
Just a note here. The Russians, what would they be thinking to tell the public about this? Certainly everybody sees the news that it was an accident, that it didn't happen, that NATO is oversensitive given that they attacked us. How would it be explained to the Russian public, which is a very sophisticated audience?
Well, it is sophisticated, but I mean, it's also very well aware and in a way accepting of the fact that its government lies to it continuously. Now, in this case, the Russian public response, I think, will be, yeah, I mean, this was obviously a warning to NATO, and yes, obviously the Russian government is lying about it. So that I'm not sure that, I mean, anyone sensible in Russia will actually believe the Russian line, the official line, that it was an accident. But equally, I don't think they'll, you know, care greatly about it, because the, you know, the Russian official excuses about the, you know, these drones not having the range and so forth and so on are clearly nonsensical. The only, I mean, an interesting sideline, though, on this is that Belarus recently has actually been trying, you know, reaching out, adopting more of what's been called by other former Soviet states a multi-vector policy. And clearly, these drones, some of which appear to have been fired from by Russian forces in Belarus, are going to have a very disturbing effect on this. In fact, Belarus now claims to have shot one of them down itself. And so it could be as well, I'm completely speculating here, that the Russian government wanted to disturb this, you know, incipient process of détente between Belarus and the West, and make sure that Belarus stayed firmly in Russia's orbit, and perhaps, you know, also send a message to the Belarusian government about this.
Lukashenko then is a maverick, not to understand him as a stooge, because when those nuclear weapons were said to be deployed to Belarus, he stood back and let it happen. So has something changed for him?
Well, Lukashenko has never been simply Putin's stooge. In fact, there have often been very bad relations between them. And Lukashenko is not a Russian loyalist. I mean, what he really is, strangely, you could say, you know, more than 30 years on, is a Soviet loyalist. I mean, he would really dream of the restoration of the Soviet Union with a top place for Belarusians in that union. And he has made previous attempts to reach out to the West. He was doing this before 2020. But then these, you know, protests in Belarus erupted against the alleged rigging of the elections by Lukashenko, and the West gave very strong support to the protesters and to the Belarusian opposition. So, of course, not and imposed a whole range of sanctions on Belarus and on Lukashenko personally. So, you know, not surprisingly, that drove him right back into the arms of Russia, because he had nowhere else to go.
I'm speaking with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We're identifying the incident at the Polish-Belarusian border as a significant talking point for NATO, but also for the Coalition of the Willing, meeting most recently in Paris, a troubled Paris. And we turn now to what is the Coalition of the Willing, and what is it that they imagine they can do given this present quandary over drones? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.